Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
But again, I was in, of all places, the place that has become known as home to Peppa Pig. I was in Portons Park. Jack, my son, now a wonderfully mature Christian himself, was less than 1 year old and napping in the buggy alongside me as I lay on the grass with the sun beating down on me. His sisters were skipping away, holding their mum's hand as they headed for their first ride of the day. And as the sun beat down, as the giggles of children around me carried on, as the birds spoke in the trees, God's Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now, at this time, I was less than 1 year into my own walk with Jesus, and I'd heard mention of hearing from God. But no one had explained how that would happen. So I kept trying to swipe away this annoying interruption to my day and enjoyment of the sun. After all, if God was to speak to me, it would be a verbal voice, wouldn't it? Now, I wasn't expecting the full-blown Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston booming voice. But it was more like a whisper. Now, of course, at this point, I'm yet to understand passages from the Bible, like the time when God's Spirit speaks to Elijah. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a whisper. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Or the call that we hear in Samuel. Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in that place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The quiet whisper, not the Charlton Heston booming voice. Now, I'm not alone in my ability to miss God, of course. In this busy life that we lead, perhaps Billy Graham had it right. The man who perhaps spoke to the most people about Jesus in the last century said this of people who already went to church: "Everywhere I go, I find that God's people lack something. They are hungry for something. Their Christian experience is not all that they have expected, and they often have reoccurring defeat in their lives. Christians today," and this was said a while ago, but it stands today, "Christians today are hungry for spiritual fulfillment." We were sharing at the New Wine celebration just last weekend about the revival that's happening in young people. They are hungry for a spiritual understanding of God. The desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we've been sold a lie. When we speak of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which we often do, and being an Anglican church, often do in our liturgy, particularly in the communion service, most of us, not all of us, most of us are comfortable with Father God. Father who loves us beyond measure. We're happy to love God the Son, Jesus, as our teacher, our Saviour. But God's Holy Spirit, that's slightly weird, isn't it? And probably best left just for Max. In fact, in a recent Christian survey, Christian participants were asked this true or false question: "The Holy Spirit is a force, not a person. I'm not going to ask you to speak out loud, but have a ponder on that one. True or false? The Holy Spirit is a force, not a person." Well, I wonder what you answered in your head. But in this survey I quoted, 2/3 of Christian respondents said the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is a force to be wielded, not a person to know and be known by. They thought that God's Holy Spirit was more akin to the Force in Star Wars than a person to know and be known by. 66 in every 100 Christians responded in what is a heresy and has been for hundreds of years and recognized as such. Or maybe we should quote another one of my favorites, an older preacher again, A.W. Tozer, who said this: "Now, if I were to go up to people in church on a Sunday morning and ask them if they know Jesus, I would get a positive response from most everybody. Everyone knows who Jesus is. That's not the issue. Because it's one thing to know about someone and another thing to experience a person intimately." And he goes on as well a bit further. "The foundation of my spiritual life," he says, "is personally to know Christ in such a way that my life has been transformed. To do this, I need to unlearn the world and to be filled with the Holy Spirit." All of this preamble and rambling is to say that as we take a few weeks over the next few weeks and months to learn who God's Holy Spirit is, en route, we may need to unlearn a few things about what we've learned in the past. If we are to move from a relationship of a familiar stranger to an intimate one of God's heart with us, we might need to consider if what we understand of the Holy Spirit now is what the Bible and what God says about it. Talking of the series, it begins with good old Fleur and me introducing you to it. Fleur's up next week, aren't you, Fleur? So we're going to introduce the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about today what it means, why it's important when the Advocate comes. Next week, Fleur's going to talk more about the fact that actually God's Holy Spirit is experiential. In the everyday, we could know. Couldn't think of a better person to speak of that than Fleur. No pressure. And then as we go on, we're going to get really practical about what it means to live out God's Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Discernment, prophecy, healing, witness, redemptive suffering. We're not going to ignore the hard ones. And the way of love. Now, I want to speak to those of you who've been around for a while. Because I know some of you will go, "Oh, we're at that again, aren't we?" Some of you will think of this is the latest, you know, go at by the rector or even previous rectors of introducing more of the Holy Spirit into Bedhampton. And yes, it blatantly it is. But actually, I want to assure you of something. This is not some wacky teaching that this church went through in the mid-90s that you couldn't quite get on board with, that damaged your understanding of God's Holy Spirit. This is truth. This is who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I plead with you to be opening to listening to God in the whisper. If you can do that, this series could be so much more for you. It could be life-changing for you. My relationship with God's Spirit has moved on since I picked up this book. This book is not gospel. It's just a reminder of who God's Spirit is. So let's crack on then, when the Advocate comes. Now, generally when I speak something like 15 to 20 minutes. And today I'm talking to you about when the Advocate comes. In the book, this takes about two to three hours to read this part of the book. I've heard Tyler Staton himself speak about this several times. There's some links on the website to a couple of those talks. He has never taken less than an hour to speak about this part of the book. So bed in. No. Okay. So I've taken over half of my time already with you. So what I'm really saying here is actually no different next week when Fleur or anyone else speaks. Because we don't spend an hour here preaching, we can only hope to whet your appetite. And actually, really, it's down to you to pick up the book. Put your hand up first next time when I'm offering to give one away free. Pick up the book, read it, listen to it. If you don't do reading, listen. I listen to a lot of the books I listen to. If you don't, so pick up the book, read it, listen. Pick up your Bible, Check the quotes. Is Max checking that out of context? You're grown adults, grown mature Christians. Check that what I'm saying is true. And actually, above all else, walk with some Christians. Join a small group if you're not in a small group. There are a number of people waiting for a small group to start right now. If you're not in a small group, join a small group and walk together in this together. Just speak to me or anyone of Emily or Joe from the ministry team. So with that caveat in mind and having wasted even more time, let's move on. If you've drifted off, now's the time to wake up, okay? As we go back, way back to the beginning of our Bibles, as we just heard, and I'm not going to read it all again because it was read so well by Bex, but we read the introduction of who God made us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God, was hovering over the waters. The very first paragraph, the first few lines of our scriptures talk about how God's Holy Spirit came to be amongst us, came to be community, to be family with us. And then, sadly, we see how all through scripture and history since, we have tried to separate ourselves from God's Holy Spirit. The first chapter of Genesis describes God creating this family. Goes on, doesn't it? God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish, over the sea, and the birds in the sky, over the livestock, the wild animals, over all creatures, and they move that move along the ground." God came to be. We were made in his image. He came to be amongst us. I was out having a daddy date with my oldest daughter yesterday, who's married with children now. Daddy dates are still okay when they're that old. And we walked into a pub in West Meon, I think, is it the John Lord? We walked into a pub, lovely, good food. And we were chatting to the waitress, as you do, and she said, "Oh yeah, the moment you walked in, I knew you were father and daughter." Well, that's who we are with God. The moment you walked in, I knew you were God's daughter, you were God's son. The sadness is, of course, is that the story that we read in Adam and Eve and the tree of life is all about us moving away from that, relying on ourselves. But he never gives up. He still wants a daddy date, doesn't he? Later on in Israel's story, of course, we see them build a tent to host God's Holy Spirit. In the final words of the book of Exodus, we read in Exodus, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory, God, of the Lord filled the tabernacle." God comes once again to be amongst his people and somehow ends up boxed up in the tabernacle in the tent. Then the New Testament comes, of course. John's Gospel, the biography of Jesus that John did, says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Once again, God is seeking to come and be among. We've just been celebrating, haven't we? God with us. Emmanuel. God comes amongst us. Tyler Staton says this. He says that passage might be better translated. The Word became flesh. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and made his tabernacle among us. Harking back to that Exodus passage. We become the home of the Holy Spirit. We become the host for God's Spirit, the helper, the advocate that Jesus will promise later. The wonderful news is that actually this is both plural and singular. I won't, because you know I'm not a Greek scholar, but I stole it from Tyler Staton. If you turn to 1 Corinthians where Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, he says this, "Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that the Spirit lives among you?" That "you" there is you all of us here. Do you not know that you all are God's tabernacle and that God's Spirit lives amongst you? We here in Bedhampton are God's tabernacle. Just let that weigh on us for a moment. God is in Bedhampton. We've certainly seen him moving this year, haven't we? Amen. Going to be moving next week. week after, is it? 2 weeks. And we baptize Joe. That is plural. That is amongst us. But it doesn't stop there. Later on, of course, he says, do you not know that your bodies are tabernacles? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? And that is singular in the Greek. Do you not know? Do you not know that you are the host of the Holy Spirit? We are, and I am. We are, and you are the host of the Holy Spirit. It's both we and I. The same Holy Spirit that fell upon Jesus at his baptism that we happen to be celebrating today. Coincidental? It really wasn't in my... I didn't notice it until last week. Falls upon us at our baptism. Falls upon Joe at her baptism. Falls upon Jesse only an hour or so ago at her baptism at St. Tom's. The same Holy Spirit. So what? So what? It's lovely to get up and be reminded of that, but so what? So what is a good question, isn't it? Because we've been given this gift of God's Holy Spirit with us. So what? So what if we ignore that? So what? Let me share an example with you from my own life. Not this Christmas gone by, but quite a few Christmases back. I said words that will haunt me forevermore on Christmas Day. As I opened my gift from Susie, I said to her, do you still have the receipt? All the women in the room went, oh! Every single time as I open a present from Susie on Christmas Day, someone in the room says, do you still have the receipt, Mum? But they were valid words, perhaps not delivered the best way, but they were valid words because I enjoy a bit of woodworking. And Susie thought, I'll get him a woodworking gift. And I'll speak to Ian, our friend, Posey's good man, who's very much more into woodworking than I am, ask him what I should get. And he said, well, you know, a router's always a good choice. Here's a good example of a router. Max will love that. But what neither Ian nor Susie knew was, I already had a router. Susie and Ian had just never seen me use it. Now the question comes, if you already have a gift, but you've never used it, were you ever given it in the first place? So this series is not just about recognizing that God's Holy Spirit has been given to us, and is tabernacling among us right now. But it's the impact, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, next week and the weeks beyond, the impact on our daily lives, not just a Sunday morning. God has come for the here and now, hasn't he? For our lives as we walk amongst his people. Jesus said, when the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. When we walk in the Spirit of God, we walk in peace. So I'm lying on the grass in all places, of all places, Paulton's Park. Minding my young son as the rest of the family skip away to the ride. The sun is beating down on me, and amongst the glorious giggles of children around me, I hear God's Holy Spirit speak. Prepare yourself for the work I have for you. About to swat away this annoying disturbance from my day, because it's not a booming voice, I hesitate, and the words sink in. More like a whisper than a direction, God speaks into my life and then leaves peace with me in this tabernacle. those words that led me to be standing in front of you today completely changed my life. Turned not just my life upside down, but my whole family's life upside down. If there's anything you see that's good in my life or my family or my children or Susie's life, it's because of God, His Holy Spirit, and the whisper on that day. I'll be forever grateful. And so I pray that you will be open for Him moving in your life in 2026. Put the past behind you and just be open. And I beg of you, don't swat away this opportunity.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.